Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
LMFM Sunday Sport.
With thanks to the LMFM app. Download for free now and take us with you everywhere you go.
It's time for episode 2 of our series, the first time when we look back on a landmark triumph for a local club. In episode 1, we reflected on Blackhall Gael's Sol Meath Senior Football Championship title in 2003. And today, going back 1 year further to 2002 and Madoc Rangers maiden Joe Ward win in Louth. Joining me to discuss are Des Lane and player David Reid. This is episode 2 of The First Time with Madoc Rangers. All right, lads, so thanks so much for taking the time. Looking back 21 years almost now on the senior success from 2002. Des, I might start with you. Obviously, you're not from from Cullen, but you might tell us how you became involved and when you became involved with Madoc Rangers.
Yeah, David, I knew Brendan as a kid. We would have played football in Slane, so Brendan Riley. I'd been in Slane, moved to Simonstown, and basically Brendan, I had stopped playing. I was involved in Simonstown management in 2001 and stopped that. I got a call from Brendan out of the blue asking me would I like to come on board. And I said I would. I'd be delighted. And that was it. So, you know, originally I'm from Slane, which was McCullough's, I don't know, 10 miles, 7 or 8 miles down the road. So I would have been familiar with the village. So that was it. It was rusty in the first place.
And for David, for yourself, obviously you were born and bred in the area, but you know, you were only 19 in 2002. I'm looking at a few photographs of you from the paper, fresh face, young fella that you were at the time. And, you know, I know that this, I suppose the backdrop to this is you lost the final in 2001 to the Blues, 113-8. So was that, you know, a big disappointment? It obviously was, but did it take a bit of time to get over that?
I think, David, yeah, the previous year was probably... We broke through a ceiling as opposed to getting maybe a little bit further than we thought. The team was relatively new. We had a lot of newcomers, like myself included. There was a nucleus of 4 or 5 of us, probably around the 18, 19 mark. It was probably, we exceeded expectations the year before. But then when you get that far the next year, it's like refocused straight away. And you want to go that extra step. So, yes, we were well beaten and deservedly beaten by the Blues in 2001. 2002, there was just kind of a bit of more of a refined approach and a bit more ruthless, you know, in certain aspects of how we prepared, knowing what had gone the year before.
And what exactly, when you say a difference in preparation and a bit more ruthless, what exactly was that? Can you put your finger on what it was?
Look, I think it's probably the taste of it, David, if I'm being honest with you. Every team, when they get to a final, maybe for the first time in, I don't know, it was 40-odd years, I think, since 70. I think 76 was the last senior final we played. So you're talking about 35 years exactly to 2001, if my maths is right. You know, that was a long time for any club to be, you know, tasting a little bit of success or getting to a senior final. So we kind of said, look, this is a big deal. We want to go the extra step and make a bit of history here. So there was generally a focus within the group. I think the belief was probably there more so than ever, because we had got to the final, we knew we didn't perform, we were soundly beaten the year before. But we probably learned an awful lot too, David, from the previous year's mistakes and stuff like that leading up to the final. There was an awful lot of hype around the village and, you know, not to want of another word, it was just a shoe and we were going to turn up and win the final. And unfortunately, in any walk of life, Gaelic football doesn't doesn't allow you them privileges. So we did learn in that regard, you know, and maybe that's where we kind of tailor the approach an awful lot differently.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Des, because we see it a lot with teams. If they've lost a final and they get to another one the following year, one of the first things that I seem to always notice changes is the build-up is a lot more low-key. The you know, lads aren't out, you know, not that, you know, media is a massive thing at local level, obviously, to be a bit of that, but just in terms of the mindset and everything else, it does seem like if there's been a big defeat in the final, the next time around, things are a little bit more low-key and lads are more tuned into the fact that, you know, this isn't a matter of just showing up and we can't get too caught up in the build-up to it. Is that something you've experienced, not just in this case with Matic, but over the course of your career? Is it something you've noticed?
Yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with, you know, you have to lose one to win one, David, but I think it is right. I think it's experience and learning, you know, like it's you don't lose, you learn, you know, and that's what David's echoing there. And in my experience, you know, too, even if you go back to Meath and like, you know, we've Meath in the 80s lost an All-Ireland semi-final, probably shouldn't have lost it, but you learn. And I think, you know, it was a young team, as David says, things needed to matter for them. You know, they needed to believe a little bit more. They had the talent, as he said, but they also needed to perform. And that was everybody needed to perform, not just rely on, you know, Christy or Jerry or somebody like that, but everybody had to step up and play their part. And it had to matter to them. And I think the lads showed that 2001, the previous year, it did matter to them. And they wanted to right a wrong in 2002. They were deservedly beaten, but by the Blues. But they needed to get over the line in 2002, and they had a hunger to do that.
I know it's difficult sometimes looking back so many years, and it's difficult to remember what the mood was in the camp. And I think back to, you know, I was involved in a junior championship win in 97, and you have this kind of idea in your head that it was always going to happen when you look back on it now. But now I've been looking at a few of the results from the year, and I was like, we were steeped to get through a few of the matches. So when you think back to that time, did you kind of have a sense during that season at the beginning of the year and all the way through that, like, there's something special happening here? Because I think we can, Des, kind of get a little bit misty-eyed about these things and look back and, well, yeah, we were just on a roll. But do you remember thinking at the time there was something special happening, or was it really just a matter of trucking on and getting through every game?
No, I think they were, well, we decided to take every game by, you know, on its own merits, David. Just because you were in the final in 2001 doesn't mean you're going to win the championship in 2002, no matter how good you are. Mm. So we had to apply ourselves, and we started well, and we really had a good season. As you were saying earlier on, we reached the ACC Cup final, beaten by St. Pat's, I think. David might, as I said, confirm that. Cardinal Donald Cup final, and Joe Ward subsequently. So it was each day, each game, you know, by its own, and we just move forward to the next game. And it was like it was a determination. It was a matter of learning to not grind out results, you know, when things weren't going against us. I think we had struggled against the Clans, David. I don't know. David might remember more than me now. We just ground that out in the second half after having a good first half. And I think we learned to do that through the season. And that was everybody, as I said, playing their part. That it was, you know, you could rely on, you know, certain, like, some great players, though, David, when you think about it. When you look back on that squad, they were very good. Some very, very good players.
And David, yeah, like, let's just look at the championship in itself. And I don't know, before we get to the knockout stages, you beat Stabannon, Cooley and St. Mary's in the group. David, do any of those games stick out for you? Appreciate it's a long time ago, but getting off to that good start and coming through the group with a 100% record is obviously a key thing as well in sending you into the knockout stages in good form.
Yeah, actually, I would be probably lucky enough. I still remember them very vividly, David. I would have a good memory of games. I think now, if you're coming back to me in another 10 or 15 years, the story. But I remember the first game. Stabannon was in Dunleer, actually. It was a Saturday evening. But Ireland were playing Cameroon in the World Cup that morning at 7:30. It was Saipan, or it was the Japan and Korea, South Korea World Cup. And I remember just lying in bed, flicking on the telly, setting the alarm clock, because, you know, a 19-year-old doesn't wake up too early on a Saturday morning. But flicking on the telly, 7:30, and Matty Holland scored, I think I woke the house if they weren't already awake, lying in bed watching it. But you're kind of conscious, look, championship was that evening. That was the most important thing. And we got off to a really good start against the Bannon in Dunleer. We got a couple of early goals and kind of just set us on a way. And you'd probably contrast one team going after having a spell of dominance in Louth for the previous decade. They were probably going the other way as opposed to us upcoming. Do you know what I mean? So it was kind of significant, that game, from a point of view of maybe the previous years. But look, yeah, we had a real ding-dong game with Cooley and Castle Bellingham, if I remember, the Saturday evening. It wasn't much in it. We just kind of got a Mark, I remember Mark Brennan got a great goal after halftime. It kind of put us in a strong position to see it out. And then we played RDE, I think it was on the Thursday night, and Drogheda, the last group game. You know, we played really, really well in that game, the second half. I know the Marys got two late goals. They probably only put a couple of points in it at the end. But, you know, we were pretty happy with the performances in the group stage. You know what I mean? Without looking like losing any of the games, you know, not in an arrogant way. We just, it was job done. You know, team on a mission, learned from last year, knew what way to go. And that was the easiest route to win every game and progress to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, that's the way to go. All right. And you talked about it there, Des, like some of the players that you had, like Christy Grimes, Mark Brennan, who I would have seen a fair bit of in the mid to late noughties playing centre forward for Louth, and an unmistakable look, like the jersey was always out, the socks down. He was a sort of a very languid looking lad, but such a classy footballer, and one of these lads that just pulled the strings at centre forward, Des.
Yeah, absolutely, David. Had bags and bags and bags of talent and was kind of mercurial in a way. It was sometimes with Mark, you didn't know what you were going to get with Mark, you know, so you could have absolute brilliant one day and then other days you're scratching your head. And but he matured, as you said, into a very good Louth footballer. But as David said there, you know, to himself and David up front, you're nearly always going to sneak us a goal. You know, either one of them or two of them are going to get us a goal. And that helped us a lot in a number of matches as we went through the year.
Yeah, and in terms of the quarterfinal then, again, David, I'm not sure if you remember this. It sounds like you remember all these games very vividly. So we'll go back to you for the quarterfinal. Nave Martin, obviously you've had great success in recent years, but how well do you remember that game? Because, you know, the knockout stages always have a different dynamic to them. There's obviously the jeopardy of one bad performance and you're gone. So I can imagine the nerves being two steps away from a county final again must have been fairly intense. But how well do you remember that particular game?
Yeah, you're 100% right. When it comes to knockout, there is that a little bit more at stake, okay, David. You know, and kind of the team probably can sense that a little bit. We, you know, it was a real ding-dong game. You know, ourselves and Monaster Boyce would know each other pretty well, you know, outside of football at the time as well. And there was, you know, it was a ding-dong game. There wasn't much in it coming up to the three-quarter mark. Again, it was probably something Des just alluded to. We were really good at getting goals, David. And again, the difference in that game was probably the goals that just kept us that bit of breathing space ahead. You know, we got one in the first half, and then Christy got a penalty early on. As far as I remember, I think it was Alan Finnegan as well, who was another, you know, understated hero in the team that just quietly went about his business. You know, everyone kind of chipped in, I suppose, David. That's what that kind of indicates when we needed to. And we just kind of kept Monaster Boyce at arm's length, you know, without setting the world alight either in a quarter final, but did enough to get over it. And it was kind of job done. We move on. You know, we had a keen eye. You know, a lot of us were down looking at the Blues and the Clans in the other quarter final that night, or the next night, I think it was, knowing who we would play in the semi final. So, you know, there was a lot of eyes on, is it going to be a repeat against the Blues in the 2001 final, in the semi final, or the Clans actually managed to eke out a win by a point in RD. You know, I can remember Callahan taking a shot, actually just looped into the top corner. It was one of them. He was probably going for a point and it dropped in, and it gave the Clans the edge just in the closing minutes, you know. So yeah, that kind of set the tone for a semi-final against the Clans. I don't know whether that was a good or a bad thing, David.
I'm sure. Happy, maybe. If Carl's listening, he'll probably be claiming he went for that goal, but we'll give him the pass on that one. But Des, it takes me back a bit, Des, myself, because that when you get into a semi-final and then you're going to watch the next day to watch, you know, your potential opponents, in the other quarterfinal and seeing who's going to come through. It's an exciting kind of time, isn't it? Because you know you're going to be playing one of these teams and you're looking at what you might be coming up against and what little tactical nuances are going on. It's always an exciting time, I think, when you're looking forward to a big game and you're not sure who you're going to be playing yet, but you're there watching it and maybe taking a few notes.
Absolutely, and you know, both as a player and as a manager or coach, you're trying to look at, you know, spots and where they're really good and spots and weaknesses and spots where you can exploit, you know, some of those weaknesses and how you can, you know, deal with some of their threats. So it's really the time between the semi-final, David, and the final is really, really good. I would say a happy, interesting, time to just prepare for that big day and all that goes into it. It's kind of one of those times that says this is why you're involved and this is what you love about the game, you know.
And David, so you have the Clans in the semis after watching them come through, and I guess, you know, you're one step away then from a final. How well do you remember that semi-final? Because I'm sure if you remember group match as well, you probably remember the semi-final pretty well as well. And it's probably the tensest you're going to be, even maybe more so than the final. People often say the semi-final is the worst place to lose. I don't know if I agree with that, but getting ready for that semi-final against the Clans, what was the mood like, and how did that game go for you, David?
Yeah, the preparations went pretty well. I think Des touched on it just at the start of the one of the matches that stand out, and I think the Clans match was probably that match in this campaign. Obviously, you win a final, you're going to remember that, but the Clans match was just, you know, if ever there was a match of two halves, you know that old cliche, it was this game. We absolutely, the first half in that game was probably our best performance in the Laois Championship that year, if I'm being honest. We just, everything clicked, the runs, the movement, the touch, the hand passing, the kick passing, everything worked like a well-oiled machine. We opened up a really good lead. I think we were 7-8 points clear, you know, come halftime. And we'd obviously got a goal on top of our period of dominance. And you know, maybe what happens with a team is you get into a false sense of, you know, halftime broke the momentum. Second half was completely different turnaround, and the Clans really put us to the pin of our collar. There's one instance in the whole year that I keep going back to, and it's probably with 2 or 3 minutes to go. Des will probably remember it, hearts in the mouth, Carlo handling the ball, you know, bearing down and goal, pulled the trigger. I just, as much in my own head, you're standing the other end of the field looking at it going, that's a goal. And Michael Cubbing, which we just pulled off, an unbelievable save. I can remember it like it was just yesterday. It was the winning of the match, and you know, as you said, David, with semi-finals of a win, but we were in a real dogfight come the last closing minutes of that game. The Clans put in a massive second half. The intensity was much stronger from them, and very hard to change a game when it's going like that, but Cub definitely got us out of jail with that save at the end of the record.
Remember that one, Des?
I do, yes, absolutely, David. And as you reflect back on it, when you look at the results in the year and you say, geez, we were lucky there. That's one of those, you know. And Cub stood up that day, and that was the save that changed the rest of the year for us, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's funny because there often are kind of one or several. But I can think back again to my own time playing. There's certain games where you get a bit of luck, or you get a referee's decision, or a miraculous save, or something like that, and it just does give you a little bit of a shot in the arm. So you get through that one, thanks to your keeper, and you're into another final, Des. And again, I suppose, so I'll go back to David in a second, but the build-up to that final, it is another cliche, isn't it? But I presume you're just trying to keep things as normal as possible. And, you know, I guess finals, at club level in particular, there's a bit of gear floating around, new gear floating around from sponsors or whatever, and everyone's a bit kind of excited about that. Little things like that are different to a normal league or championship match. But Would you, as in the management team, are you just trying to keep everybody, like everyone's feet in the ground and everybody focused on the job at hand?
Yes, that's basically it. You know, I mean, I think we prepared well. We got that stuff over and done with, you know, early on, and that the final week was focused on the match and preparing for the match itself. And this is where, you know, the experience of 2001 comes in. You know, I wasn't there in 2001, but this was about the match. It wasn't about the hype. It was getting that thing done. I think we went away in the middle week. We went down to Drumcar for, you know, a whole Saturday and had a day's preparation on our own, away from everything down there. And I think, you know, that kind of refocused us, both agreed how we were going to approach the match, agreed, you know, what we were going to do among ourselves. And I actually think we were well, from my point of view, I think we were well prepared for that match. It was a kind of matter of fact job to be done. Let's go out and get on with it and do it. Attitude for that whole week. I think the boys were, to me, seemed to be, you know, pretty relaxed and focused.
Mm. And David, for you, was there any, you know, do you recall any there being any major difference to the final in 02 versus 01 in terms of the build up, obviously?
You probably notice a few things looking back now, David, and I think on a lot of credit goes to Des. He's probably downplaying the preparation. He was very low-key. There was nothing really out of the ordinary. It was another game. He brought us away to Simon Center for training. Most of the games did a really good set of lights under floodlights, and that really helped. I really think that was a big aspect to getting away from calling maybe them lights, because you know yourself, David, when it's local, yeah, everybody wants to be around it, you know, even on training nights or whatnot.
Great to see Meath and Louth working together as well, David, right?
Well, yeah, it's come back. I suppose, yeah, 2002 was another, it was another dark year with Louth and Meath as well as that qualifier in Naples.
That's right.
Either.
No, lads, come on.
No, but I think guys did a really good job with downplaying the significance of what the match was. It was another 60 minutes of football. You know, so there were certain elements, and I think probably as a community or as a village centred around it, we probably learned a little bit about it too, you know, about not, I suppose, blowing it up that, you know, the players got caught in the hype. You know, there was a, it worked both ways. The players were well aware what was at stake, how to handle it a lot better this time around.
And then the game itself, obviously it ended, it was close enough in the end, and we'll get to how the game went. But David, I'm reading a few comments from you here in the Argus, actually, that I think I sent on to you during the week. But, you know, you were quoted after the game talking about the Brides getting the goal late on, which brought it back to, I think, a 2-point game. But we'll come to that maybe in a sec. The first half, you were leading by 2 points at halftime, 1-5-6. So again, David, how do you remember the game going and the first half in particular for the moment? How do you remember that game going and the start you made?
Yeah, it was very cagey, David, early on. It was point for point. I think the Brides were probably always ahead. They'd always got the lead point. We were kind of, if I'm being honest, from a performance point of view, we were kind of just hanging in there. I know they had another really good goal chance when they were bearing down 1-1 with Cub as well. He blocked it with his feet. Now, I'm not going to give it as much credit as he's the one for the semi-final. they probably should have scored a goal, but the effort, kind of, he smothered it well with his feet. But we probably didn't perform as well as we'd like to in the first half. You know, you're obviously coming into a final, but the Brides are a very good team. And yeah, Aaron Hoy absolutely shooting the lights out in that opening half. Some of the points scored were absolutely...
Man of the match as well.
He was. He had 10 points, yeah. 5 from play and 5 from freeze. He was absolutely on fire. But there was a big moment before halftime, a really, really big moment before halftime where we got a break. Christy found Mark with a lovely threaded through ball, and once Mark gets running at your defence on the back foot, you're in trouble. And, you know, as always, Mark's vision was top class. He spotted Shane Grimes, or Shanzi as we know him, in the right position, and he finished low under the keeper. So going in at halftime, 2 points up, the way the game had gone was kind of a psychological boost for us, knowing that we probably hadn't produced a good enough performance up to that point, David. Yeah.
And Des, I'm looking here at the kind of score by score. 46 minutes, Mark Brennan makes it 2-7-8 points. You know, so you're into the last 15 or so at that stage, okay, whatever's added on as well. At that point, again, it's probably maybe hard to remember exactly how you were thinking, but, you know, looking at it there, you'd imagine you were kind of on your way at that stage. You were 3/4 of the way there, almost literally, but didn't quite turn out that way. But do you remember at any point in the second half thinking to yourself, we have this, or was it always in the melting pot, Des?
I always felt we were kind of, as David says, we didn't probably perform as well as we did in the first half, and we got scores in that probably middle third that, as you say, built that lead by the 3/4 mark. And I didn't, David, is the answer to answer your question. You know, as David says, Aaron High was on fire though, which was the only thing. We just and we kind of, like, he was class, and we knew that going out that he was going to score, and it was just not letting him score goals, you know. So, yeah, I think I was okay as we head into running, I think we were doing okay. And I didn't think we were going to be headers at that point.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And then, David, as you mentioned there in that little quote that you had, that they get a goal with what, about 10 minutes or so to go, just less than 10 minutes, actually. It was about 8 minutes or so to go in that one when they get the goal. You were a bit nervous, I'd say, at that stage, David, because you referenced the previous year's final. So when they get that goal, the Brides close to the end of the game, David, are you a little bit nervous at that stage?
Yeah, well, it's probably like us. We couldn't do that in really simple and just see if the game with 4 or 5 point cushion. So when they got a goal, yeah, you're kind of thinking, right, you know, you have to go to the well here again. You've last 10 minutes to really see out. But that's probably where experience comes into it, David. I know it was the Brides' first final in a long time. You know, you used probably last year, and a lot of teams would reference that. You know, you use every bit of experience you have. I think we kind of managed the last, what it was, 7, 8, 10 minutes of that game really well. We probably had one or two good goal chances ourselves, actually, on the flip side of that. You know, I remember Niall Callan crashing the crossbar, hitting the crossbar with a shot. John Henry was through in goal then at the end and did the right thing. He fisted over the bar to put 4 points in it. I think we got the next two scores, which was crucial. So it's probably a sign that we had learned from probably previous failings. A bit of composure, use that experience to kick on and get the next couple of scores. That just had enough for us to get over the line at the end.
Yeah, and it was a close-in free by yourself. Came straight after their goal, so that settles things down a little bit for you as well. And Des, the final whistle goes. Your first year involved, the Midas touch there from you coming in. But I know we'll get back to David in terms of his feelings and the feelings around the parish. But for you, Des, coming in, it must have been very, very special to be in with that group of players and a special bunch and a talented bunch, as you said, to hear that final whistle and to win the first ever Joe Ward from Attic Rangers. Must have been an amazing feeling, Des.
Yeah, absolutely, David. And you know, you have, not to speak in cliches, but you know, you say to guys when you win something, when you meet someone, you don't have to talk or anything, but you'll just remember that day and that evening. And that's so true. You know that here we are 21 years later, and I don't know the last time I've spoken to David Reid, you know, like, could be 2 or 3 years, but we could sit down and have a pint now and you talk about things like this. And in hindsight, that's what it's made. And the joy from the village, from all the people who put a big effort in, you know, underage, Dave's dad, Damien was a great help to us that year. You know, all of that was just, it was fantastic to witness and a great sense of achievement when you're the coach on that side too. We shouldn't remember Rusty either now, you know, Brendan Riley and all of this either, David, you know.
Yeah.
I think he's gone 10 years this year, so he was a huge, to see him, that was one of the things I remember is Rusty and Rusty's reaction. Like that was in itself was good enough for me, you know.
Yeah, no, it's amazing when these things happen for people that have been involved in the club for such a long time and given so much to it. And David, not a bad day for you. Top scorer, 5 points. Chrissy Grimes next with 4. Shane Grimes a goal. Mark Brennan the goal. Ivor Sherlock and John Hanratty a point each. David, for you, when the full time whistle went, were there a few tears? Did you know what to do with yourself?
I didn't really. I think, to be fair, David, I just turned around, shook the hand of the lad close to me, Paul Prendergast. I think he was sticking to me the glue all day, and I kind of felt that I know what he's gone through from the previous year. So that was my initial reaction, you know, instead of running around like a lunatic. Maybe it was the year before, you wouldn't be that kind of composed. But I just remember shaking hands and saying, look, I've been there. I know what it's like, hard luck. But then after that, I think, you know, my father came out. He was one of the first people I seen. And it was a kind of a special moment. He was just absolutely elated. You know, it was probably like years of hurt. And it meant so much. Like, I keep making reference to this. I was probably fortunate enough at 19 years of age to win a senior championship. You know, people have waited a lifetime. So Des touched on it. What it meant to so many other people. It was probably lost on someone as innocent as me at that stage, by comparison to looking at, you know, the reaction of my father. He had the tears. I was kind of like, you know, not in an arrogant way. So look, this is what we're meant to do. We're on the field. We're meant to win these games. We're meant to win championships. We're good enough to, you know, let's just enjoy it. You know what I mean? But what it meant to a lot of people was, it was a special moment. You know, really.
Yeah, really. It must have been absolutely unbelievable. And the incredible thing about that year is, and it's something I've touched on the show a lot over the years, when we talk about, you know, Meath in particular, clubs in Leinster that haven't really made much of an impression. And I always feel it's more difficult for clubs who haven't won a senior title for a long time to then buckle down and go at Leinster, because the celebrations after winning the Keegan Cup or Joe Ward for the first time in a long time, for the first time ever in Maddox's case, to buckle down then and to have the run you had through Leinster, beating Starlights after replay, you beat Tullamore, you beat Moorfield, who were a big name at the time and still are. Dunshaughlin, obviously, after doing their three in a row in Meath, you came up short in that one in the end. But that run through Leinster, Des, must have been pretty special as well. And to, as I say, to refocus things after the celebrations after the Joe Ward win, it's a fair achievement to get to a Leinster final.
Yeah, you know, and David, we did celebrate. Like,
oh, I bet
there was a lot of celebration went on, and I think we were lucky enough that we might have had 2 or 3 weeks break between the final and the first Leinster. So, you know, there's only as much drinking as you can do. And we mobilised and we got back and said, look, so let's have a lash with this. And I think we were very rusty against Starlights in RD. And we were 3 down or 4 down with 3 minutes to go, 3 down with 4 minutes to go or something like that. And we came back and got a result. And that was like another shot in the arm. That gave everybody a boost. And says, Jesus, like, you know, maybe we can, if we go and have a rattle at this, we can, we'll see how far we go. And that was the start of it. I describe it as a journey. We went on this journey that's just, you know, got better and better as we went along. You know, We then had to play Starlights down in Wexford, and I think there was buses organised, and there was, you know, the last man or woman in the village to turn out the light to head for Wexford on a Saturday. And it's just fantastic, absolutely fantastic memory for that journey. And some of the football we played was probably better, David, I'd say, than we did in the championship. The match against Moorfield, I thought we were. You were looking at this and you said, geez, these lads are going from strength to strength here. And we're enjoying it, was the main thing.
And David, for yourself, like, you know, we saw with say, Castletown and Meath this year getting to a Leinster Club final and winning that. And as Des mentioned, like, there's busloads of people. There's nobody left, you know, no one left at home. It must have been a real novelty to be going off and playing these games around Leinster, like in, say, that trip to Wexford. But as I said, to come through games against the likes of Tullamore and Moorfield, like that was a really, really impressive achievement. And, you know, you could argue even surpassed winning the senior title in Louth, because you're coming up against teams from different counties. You don't know much about them. You're having to kind of prepare blind. So what was that championship run, Leinster championship run, like for you, David?
Yeah, it was just brilliant. That, and you look at echo exactly what you said, and Des has said, like the Starlights game. You know, I'm half kind of thinking it was planned that we drew the match so we get away a trip so that we could keep this, you know, journey going and we could celebrate somewhere else outside of the village. But well, yeah, Des is 100% right. We got really lucky in RD. The first game we were quite poor. The second game I remember very vividly, it was just down in Wexford. It was a Saturday evening, really wet, windy day, but we played really good stuff and came out of there with a win. Then Tullamore at home in RD was our pitch at the time, obviously. We got over the line, played really, really well. The Moorfield game was probably the pinnacle, I think, of the club's performance over my time, certainly. It was just, you know, you're playing a really top side in Navan. Tit for tat, a really good match, pure football. And, you know, we produced from 1 to 15 that day. It was a super performance to get over the line. And, look, as Des said, it was a journey. To us, it was playing games of football. And the club has probably historically done well in Leinster, David, you know, throughout the years. I think it's probably down to sheer footballing ability and just going out and playing our game. Whereas within your county, you're kind of, every club would say that, you know, everyone knows everyone else. You're trying to negate strengths and exploit weaknesses. Whereas in Leinster, there's probably less of an element of the, you know, unfamiliar who you're playing. So when it came down to footballing ability, we had that in abundance and we just produced it on the day. And that doesn't guarantee results. But look, at that time, it was just toe-to-toe, it was honest football. We came out the right side of it, you know, until we got to the final in Navan against the Shock, and that was a different story, different outcome. But there is a bit of a sore point, as mentioned earlier on, four finals in the year. To just come out with one win, you know, it's, if you ask any sports person when they finish playing football, they'll remember the losses more than the wins, as hard as it is. You know, they'll always remember, you know, when you win, it looks after itself, but you do remember the loss and think back, what could you have done differently? What should we have done differently there?
Yeah, and it's funny because this Dunshaughlin team got to mention the first episode of this series I did with the Black Hall lads, and they had a bit of a sore memory from 0-2 against Dunshaughlin as well, and they're on Dunshaughlin's way to winning the championship, which was 3 in a row for them. And as David said there, you know, you got the four finals, you win one of them. But I suppose if you didn't win the Joe Ward, you wouldn't have had the fourth final with the Leinster. So, but that was up on top of Christmas, because I was looking at the headline and it was Dunshaughlin get their claws, C-L-A-U-S, around Maddox. So I think that was like a week before Christmas or something. It was very late in the year. But I know you lost that final. From reading the reports, it seemed like Dunshaughlin were maybe just a bit too physically strong or whatever, or experienced. But what a year, though. And even losing that final, Des, I'm sure you still look back on it and think, what a year that was for Maddox Rangers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was, David, I think it was the 22nd or 23rd of like December. It was like lads dressed in Santa Claus outfits and everything in Park Tolson.
And that was just David Reid.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way it played, it might as well have been.
And, you know, it was, in hindsight, we probably are, and Dave will tell you probably better tonight. That was a disappointing performance from our point of view, you know. And I don't think it was to do with the hype. I don't think it was to do with Christmas. I think we had a lot of mileage on the clock at that stage, and we came across, as you say, season camp pay. There's hardy boys now. There's, you know, some of those in Shockton were big men, and you had two or three Keelys who are, you know, epitomise, you know, the strength and skill that they have. And we just came up, and we just came up short, David, a little bit in performance-wise. And that day was the day we didn't get the goals when we needed them.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of goal chances and we didn't get them. And that kind of, that was a difference between that match and other matches. And, you know, we got goals when we needed them and when it mattered in other matches, and just they eluded us that day.
Yeah, 13-7, the final score. And David, just to finish with you, that game, do you remember thinking that was a step up for Maddox in terms of the level of opponent you were playing? Or was it more, as Des said there, you just didn't perform to the levels you were capable of?
Yeah, no, I think a combination of both, if I'm being honest with you, David. Des is right, you know, Dunshaughlin were a kind of a battle-hardened team from previous years. You know, they had a bit of experience, again, going back to the experience point in the Leinster campaign. And, you know, they're probably was between the two a little bit more for that Leinster fight. It's funny, in lockdown, we got to look at the videos back. Everyone was looking at old football matches, and it was the first time I'd looked back at that game since playing in it, you know. And this is right, we had one or two goal chances. We unfortunate, like, there was one that's kind of, you know, balls crossing the line. I remember one of the second half, Mark had a chance, I think it hit the post, the butt of the post, says, if I'm right, and it rolled across the line, didn't go in. Little things like that didn't go away on the day, but no complaints. And Shockner with a better team, but this is right, we just, the goals eluded us. You know, if you only score 7 points in the match, you're not going to win it, David. So yeah, ultimately looking back, we had chances, but no complaints. And Shockland were that bit better on the day than us. And it kind of, as you said, the 22nd of December playing the Leinster club final was just surreal. After the year we'd had, I suppose the other end of throughout the year we kind of had a really settled squad. We were lucky with injuries. You know, we were probably doesn't tell you more. We were lucky to pick upon our strongest team most weeks. But it's interesting the way championship format's kind of changed now, whereas we go back to the Stabana match, the first round of that was in probably June time. You had 3 or 4 weeks between games. It ran the whole way down to, obviously, when you go down to the Leinster campaign, it ran the whole way to the 22nd of December, because I think Dunshaughlin had a few draws with, I think it was UCD or Rathnew maybe in the other side of the draw. So
yeah, Rathnew. I think they were knocking lumps out of each other about two or three games in that campaign. Yeah,
it's a pity that didn't take a few more lumps out of
someone. Well, I don't know if it was either Dunshaughlin or Rathnew in the final. I don't know which is which will be taking greater lumps out of you, David, in the day. But yeah, I agree with David. Dunshaughlin were better on the day, and they totally deserved the win that day.
Yeah, it was a different era for sure. Listen, lads, it's been absolutely brilliant. I know the year ended on a bit of a disappointing note for you in terms of the Leinster final, but what a year and what a campaign it was. It's been really, really great reliving it with both of you, and I hope we've brought a little bit of joy maybe to some Madoc Rangers fans listening in as well. So thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, David.
LMFM Sunday Sport.
With thanks to the LMFM app. Download for free now and take us with you everywhere you go.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently, so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.